Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Wow. Welcome, 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 and thank you for listening. And this is, of course, Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And, of course, you heard the intro. My intro song was incorporated with Masonic Temple's song of Blind, which is from their album Follow Me. And, of course, that's from, you can check them out always at myspace.com/massdem. But I do, and then a following song, by the way, I did add. Should always turn off your cell phone, right? I added Asia for, I had a past guest, her name is Susan Tony, you've heard her several months back, and apparently she's been going up and down on some health issues, and so I dedicated the song that she did so well called Asia, and again, my thoughts and prayer go out to her and hope she recovers in a speedy way. And everything comes better for her. It's like these up and down things that she's been going through in the last few years. And anyway, again, my thoughts and prayer go out to her. And of course, thinking of Asia, which is a fascinating song, it brings up a lot of things of issues of past ones I've crossed or past person I've crossed. And of course, today, meeting people or person or whatever that crosses within my path of today, which is, I think, in course, which I think that's very important, that which I will get into in another show, but in fact, next week, called The Perfect World, but about how important events are and how we do meet certain people at certain functions at certain times for various reasons, and they're all, you know, perfect how they're supposed to happen. And, you know, it's a very meaningful thing. And I don't know how to go further than that. But it's just, you know, I will get into it, like I said, next week. But it just brings up issues when I hear that song of the past, and it brings about people. And it's sort of funny because that song relates to a different relationship, which she had told me before, which was between two sides of the world coming together, which is a fascinating. Now, speaking of possibly of last shows I had, of course, Ruby Freeman Orchestra, and you'll hear her song at the end of my show. I just want to announce that she is having, if you're in the Los Angeles area, a show at Blessed Sacrament at 6657 West Sunset, and that's in Los Angeles, tomorrow at 8:30, so be there. I mean, she is certainly amazing, and I know you guys will be astounded when you see her. And really quickly, before I bring my illustrious guest here, because he has some very important information, and I'm quite fascinating about some issues that have happened, I do have a book signing event. Or if you're out here in Las Vegas, which I'm out here this weekend, I'll be doing a signing event at the Borders Bookstore tomorrow, of course, October 17th, at 1 p.m., and that's in the Town Square Mall on the Strip at 6521 South Las Vegas Boulevard. And then the following week, which is next week, October 24th, I'll be back in Vegas again at the Barnes & Noble bookstore, and that's on a Saturday, again, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., just like tomorrow, in the Summerlin area of Barnes & Noble, which is at 8915 West Charleston, and that is inside the Crossroads Commons Mall. And, of course, that's a sequel to my book, When the Angels Have Risen. Please come on. Check me out. Talk to me. See what you want to say. You know, it's fascinating. I love meeting new people or some past and some listeners, of course. And I know everybody's been anxious hearing what's happening with my book, Spirit, which will be released in January/February of 2010. We're only a few months away to get that released. And again, if anybody of you out there have any questions, comments, please send them over to flyingpigs@artlover.com or myspace.com/AndrewFetter. Now, I have a guest. I've had him on in the past. I believe it was on February 27th, so you can always look back in the archive to listen to that interview. What is fascinating about my guest, which is, his name is Bill Koseski is that he is an actual contactee. Nothing pulled, nothing fancy, nothing short. I mean, it's pretty much very much substantiated. He has also had several UFOs consistently flying over in his region for his disclosure, for his eyes, for his viewing. He's consistently been showing these events. He's been consistently in dialogue with one of the Orions, in fact. And so, and without further ado, I mean, there's so many questions I know everybody's on their mind is what they have to do with us. What has to do with our, in the past, perhaps, and in the future. So with that, I mean, this is going to be an intense one. I'm sort of like, sorry to tell you, on pins and needles to hear what he has to say. I know my producer was even asking about it as we were pulling in. So, without further ado, Phil Koseski, are you still there?
I'm here.
Hey, I appreciate for you coming back on my show. You know, like
you
I
bet.
Said... It just I'm fascinating about the current events that are happening, and I think there's in I possibly a correlation to a lot of information that you're going to disclose with what you've been in contact with one of the Orions. But before I do that, a lot of people who haven't heard about who you are or your background, could you give us like a brief to you know basically who you are and. And how do you came about this in very brief terms, because I know there's going to be a lot of information you're going to disclose to us about yourself and how you came about coming in contact with the Orion.
Okay, yeah, this started years ago when I learned about this area here in New York, reported hotbed, Pine Bush area, Orange County, New York. Has a long history, many years, decades of sightings of UFO activity and paranormal activity. And I came out here with a friend one time years ago, and we started seeing things, and we actually got a little bit of a video clip of an unusual object that was just pulsating above some trees. And so many years passed after that time. I never came back. And then just recently, over the past couple years, I had a real intense desire to get back out here for some reason or another, and so I came back out. And I started seeing the same crafts again, UFOs, but this time it was different. One of these crafts came right up over near me and just stopped and started putting on this light show, and I was able to zoom in on it and look at it through my camcorder. And then after that event happened, I think it was like a week after that, when I was home, I was meditating, and all of a sudden I was getting some mind-to-mind communication. I heard a voice in my head, my mind, telling me she was one of the pilots that fly these craft out here, these UFO craft that I had seen that just a week prior. She said her name was Abena, and that she wanted me to know that she was from the Orion constellation and that they are in this area in New York. And she wanted me to know that they look like us. And she also disclosed to me that their ancestors were on Earth anciently and had some colonies in ancient Egypt, and that her ancestors were the actual ones that created or generated or built the Great Pyramid complex over there in Giza, which incidentally, underneath Giza, there are several levels. This is very classified information, but it can be verified from certain people who got blacklisted after doing some archaeological research. I mean, their books were taken quickly out of print after they printed them, but this information can be verified. I forget the name of the guy right now, but I do have it all categorized online. But the information is that there are levels and levels and levels going under the Great Pyramid, like an underground installation that's been there for centuries. And used by various ET races. And Anyway, she gave me this information, and this is how I came into contact with these extraterrestrials here in the New York State area. They have been here for a while, and they're here for very specific reasons. One of them I can reveal is that there is an unusually high content of minerals in the area here in the Shawangunk Mountains and some of the soil area around Orange County, that they are utilizing these minerals that are there in abundance, and they have certain rights to the land here more than any Earth people do, so that's why they're here. And they are completely outside of any kind of interference from Earth, be it military, government, or whatever. I mean, are actually the military and the government fear them, and they do whatever our government and the military do whatever they're told by these extraterrestrials, because these extraterrestrials are actually untouchables, if I may say the word. So our government and military actually fear them. And this is one reason why I'm not getting harassed. Usually somebody like me that has taken video of any kind of extraterrestrial craft or anything like this, or if, even if it's tied in with any kind of black military project, would quickly become a target for any kind of military people. But I have not had one harassment or any kind of harassment. And this is due to the fact that my extraterrestrial friends have informed those kinds of people that would want to do that, that they just told them to not do it to me. And that's, they told them to just bug off and just, you know, leave me alone because I'm a contact. And that they're dealing with me, and they don't want any kind of harassment on me. So this is one reason I can confidently say this out loud, and you know that this is one reason why, and it has nothing to do with, you know, it has everything to do with the Orions and their superior spirituality and their technology and all this kind of thing. So anyway, I think maybe I'm getting a little off track here.
That's fine. I didn't really. I mean, I was just always wondering about that, but it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I heard the same thing of a couple other people I know that have been in contact with similar of lightning illness, and they've sort of been basically backed off by the government, while others have, you know, been obviously picked up. I think there's, you know, which there's a meaning for reason for that, which I know you're going to start disclosing in a second about a lot of issues, and which is actually corresponding all around the world. Actually, a lot of events and contactees as well.
That's right. That's right.
But to get into another issue, and really briefly, I know I don't want to paraphrase because a lot of people go, well, how do you just, you just can't walk up to, there's certain, you know, levels, I guess, of ETs, you can say, but in particular with the Orions or from Pleiades, that people, if you're around them personally, like if you had an ET right near you of this magnitude, their vibrational area of their, and people can you can measure this, by the way, in quantum physics, you have a frequency in your pattern in your matrix as far as your soul. And if you are like meditating, or you're elevating your frequency with a loving pattern or whatever, and bringing that frequency in a higher standard, then you can start matching theirs. But if yours is not level, then you can't be like almost like two tuning forks. And if your tuning fork one is too high and the other one's too low, the one that's lower is not going to be able to handle it, which is usually most humans. Am I correct? Basically,
yes. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. The analogy that you gave about the tuning forks is perfect. I mean, it's like if one of the tuning forks doesn't come into alignment or resonance with the other one, it's going to be out of tune. It's going to sound horrible. They're not going to want to be together. So exactly, that's the way the extraterrestrials are with us, because they are so far advanced ahead of us, which is just natural
And ahead of us is not just in a technological terms, it's also obviously in a spiritual, in their
vibratory, yeah, vibratory, and especially in their thinking patterns and their feeling patterns.
Thoughts and feelings and everything.
Yes,
all corresponded together. Now, it's also, which comes coincidentally, where a lot of people have thrown out, and I don't want to get off tangent here because I want to get into what you have to say, which makes a lot of sense because vibrational patterns are changing within the Earth. Its electromagnetic energies are generating higher frequency. Same with even within this whole solar system, which is the real truth behind the changing climate, not global warming. Cause of
oh, absolutely.
It's all coming across the horizon. But throughout our solar system, the alignments, our matrix, the moving of the polarity of Earth on its axis, it all has a reason. And that also is why there's more activity, because now the ETs can actually relate, to come corresponding to. When people see things in wavelengths. You see light in certain things. Well, as your frequency hires, you'll be able to recognize them. It's almost like there's a famous thing that happened. I remember when there was a story about when Columbus first came to Americas, but at first the natives didn't even see the ship because they couldn't recognize a ship until the medicine people who saw it and then point out there's a ship sitting there pulling up on the coast. Then they open it, they realize there's a ship there. Before that, they didn't even see, it was like he didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
So it just shows how when you recognize certain things and relate to them, then you can, your brain or your mind corresponds to the patterns. But now I know we got through all that stuff, but a lot of people, when they hear about the Orions and ETs, and I know they have people, a lot of people out there have this like messianic complex where they, the save me attitude. Oh, why? How come they don't save Earth? Why don't they save the people? Why don't they? So
yeah.
And they have this mentality like it's either that or they got the War of the Worlds mentality of ETs because they've been subjugated to some negative, with grays and cutting up cattle and things like that and. Now the 2012, which is another total propaganda of fear, but the movie they're going to put out, I think it's coming out soon, next year or this year, I forget. What is the real situation behind the Orions, though, the enlightened ETs that have been here, but now more in a relationship, being more exposed, you can call it disclosed. And is it
It's like you say. We're headed for this major alignment with the center of the galaxy in 2012. This is also encoded in the Great Pyramid. Not many people know this right now, but the Great Pyramid also has a date in there about 2012, and it has to do with an alignment also with one of the main belt stars of Orion. Which is, the Orions originally built the Great Pyramid as an astronomical measurement with their constellation when they came here. Also because of the pole shifts that happen periodically on the Earth every, I think, 10,000 years or so. I mean, there's always these like major pole shifts that happen. And so the Great Pyramid was also constructed by the Orions with that kind of exact mathematical and astronomical intelligence into the pyramid itself. It has to do with the central sun of the galaxy, which is in the middle of our Milky Way galaxy, and also with one of the belt stars in Orion is supposedly going to fall through one of the shafts in 2012 in the spring and the summer, and that signifies an increase of an alteration of the Earth's axis with central sun, and it's also going to be, and there's also these other astronomical alignments. But as far as the Orions themselves, and yes, because of all this is happening, it's going to start to happen later in 2012, 2013, and even after that. It's going to be gradual. It's not going to be one major thing where it's just going to happen in like 1 month. It's going to be more gradual and spread out over, beginning in 2012, we'll start to notice it more and more. There's going to be an increase of earthquakes and even more horrendous, like alterations of storms, you know, global warming up in the Arctic, you know, it's very true. A lot of people don't believe it and they mock it, but it's very true. There is, that's because of the we're losing the axis. The axis is already slowly tilting. It's already tilted and already slipped a number of degrees from where it was prior, like 10 years ago. You can even verify this with, I mean, I already verified it with a compass like 10 years ago. I used to locate True North, and it used to be out near Iceland. Now I locate True North, and it's out near Alaska.
Yeah, this is where, this is even on NASA's data. It's actually showing a change of pattern or movement, of degrees that confirms what you're talking about, which is associated, and they even acknowledge it's also what's increasing the increasing amount of earthquakes and whatnot that's been going around, and around the plates have been shifting drastically. But why do you feel, because it almost seems like things are starting on ahead right now, been going on ahead, but it seems almost like 2010 is some serious, our view would be more serious activity as far as both on physiological on Earth about changing things. I mean, but then it seems like those things that are accelerating, you're saying it's going to be seeming gradual, but it almost seems like it's actually not. It seems like it's going on in a space. Well, for us, it's maybe not, or maybe for them, it's not that gradual or as gradual, but for us, it might seem more effectively faster just within the next couple years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all right. We're already starting to feel it now. We also have something called Planet X or Hercabulus or Nibiru, whatever this is. But this planet has been verified and has been captured by many, many amateur astronomers around the world. Most of the scientific professionals know about it, but they're not willing to publicly broadcast this knowledge because they don't want to start a panic.
So people who don't know out there, explain what's Planet X. So.
Planet X happens to be a very large body, even larger than Jupiter. I think it's 100 times bigger than Jupiter. And it's a very large body, and it's already been seen by many amateur astronomers. There's a whole website devoted to it. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I think it's called Rogue Planet, and it's by Zeta Talk, Nancy Leader. If anybody cares to do a search on that, Zeta Talk, Nancy Leader, Rogue Planet. And she has up on that site dozens and dozens of photos of many, many amateur astronomers around the world who have caught this planetoid body, and it's already in our solar system, and it's already can be seen at various times. And it's a huge planet, and it's carrying, it has a bunch of asteroids or small moons circling it around with it. It's almost like Jupiter, you know, traveling around in an elliptic orbit. Anyway, it supposedly has this orbit every 3,600 years or more when it comes around very close to Earth, and every time it does, it also contributes to many of the problems and climatic Earth-like type changes that come on Earth. So this also is coming in, and if we don't already have enough problems with, you know, the natural shifting of the Earth's axis through the cosmic alignment with the central sun and Orion and all these other things. Now we have another thing to add into it, and that's Planet X. So that's going to happen. But I wanted to get back to the ETs. And
hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's cool, because a lot of people didn't know what that was. And,
yeah.
And they'd be lost if you said it. But get back to what you were talking about the Orions and what your new information that you've been disclosed.
Yeah, so the Orions, they're stepping up their sightings. They actually stepped up their sightings with me this year in a very marked degree since like June 16th when they started revealing the real shape and power and very, very unusual sightings that they started giving me this summer, since starting dating from June 16th, where my contact girl, her name is Abana, brought her ship in over not more than like a quarter mile away from me on June 16th, and she just started playing with this, like, they told me it was called molecular plasma, and it's a form of intelligent plasma that the ship and the technology generates through the tachyon generators within these triangular craft, which is so powerful. And she started generating this plasma and playing with it. And what she told me it's a form of intelligent plasma that can be programmed through their mentality. They give certain specific code functions to this plasma, and the plasma will take on a shape. And actually, she told me they cloak the ship, and she showed me this. They actually cloak the ship with this plasma so they can shape it and make it look different. I mean, instead of triangular, they can make it look like an airplane. They use it for cloaking. And a lot of people question some of my videos and say, oh, you're just filming, you're filming airplanes or jets. These are military objects, or these are helicopters. You know, I got a lot of people on YouTube telling me they're helicopters, but I said, aha, but you know, they're fooling you. The ETs are using the molecular plasma to cloak themselves because they're not allowed, she told me, they're not allowed to reveal themselves, the extraterrestrial nature of themselves, to just anybody. She told me the reason why this is because they're just not allowed to do it to everybody, because not everybody is at a level where they can handle it, and not everybody would receive it in the right way, so they have to cloak themselves. Also, because if they were to fly around all the time, you know, with the weird shape of these triangular ships, I've seen these triangular ships, they look almost gothic-like. They look like bat on the wings on these craft are almost like bats. And they're very eerie looking. They can be very scary. And so if they were to just fly around in broad daylight or at nighttime, you know, lit up, and they were to see these like gothic looking bat wing flying triangular craft, people would start to really flip out, I think. So this is why she has told me, you know, they cloak themselves a lot of times and they screen themselves from most viewers. But she told me the reason why I'm being able to video them and see the shape of the triangular craft is because she told me specifically I've reached a level that where they're allowed and they feel comfortable around me. And so they've granted me, it's by a privilege. Not many, you know, I hope a lot of people would want to consider this. And that is, you know, UFO sightings and contacts with extraterrestrials is really a privilege and not a right. Many people seem to think it's a right, but it isn't. It's a privilege, and it's granted by the extraterrestrials, and it's based upon very natural laws. Certain people are granted certain access to certain things by the intelligence that they have. But these by saying this, I don't want to make people think that the aliens are being stingy or anything like that. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, you know, they feel probably more comfortable around people that aren't such bigwigs in the world, but can still recognize certain things and still learn how to be humble people and not domineering and not trying to like dominate other people. The ETs are really repulsed by Earth people that are possessive and greedy and don't know how to share,
like narcissistic.
Yeah, they really, you know, these people, Earth people like that, you know, they may be very extremely intelligent, very well developed, you know, make lots of money, be big CEOs, all these, you know, push a lot of buttons and control a lot of people. But yet, if they don't know how to share and they don't know how to forgive people and they don't know how to let other people live and express themselves and evolve, then they, you know, the ETs are totally repulsed by that attitude. And they don't want anything to do with those people, even if they have all that money and they have all that power and all that intelligence. They could care less. It's actually a disgust. They're disgusted with those people. They're ashamed of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they feel for those people. they recognize, you know, this is where we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here about liberation and spiritual attainment and spiritual awakening. And this is primarily the most fundamental and most important part of why I'm being contacted. And it's to reveal that, you know, we on Earth need spiritual awakening. We need, in fact, this is part of the protocol that they've given me, which consists of 4 points, which I can share right now if you want.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, the first point of the protocol, and this protocol is based upon my contacts with Abena and what she has told me and what has been revealed to me telepathically through her and through my contacts and sightings with her ship. And the first point is spiritual awakening and self-realization, that we are spirits in bodies, physical bodies, and that we gain some kind of spiritual awakening, self-realization through higher consciousness, through development practices such as meditation, astral travel, which astral travel will allow you to experience and prove to yourself that you have a conscious and existent part of you that can separate from the physical and journey into new realms or realms that no one's maybe considered before.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like when they're talking astral, that's going like out of body for those who don't understand what you meant by that. Go ahead.
Yep. The soul travel, or other words, you could call it that. The second point would be our brainwave resonance. They specifically told me this must be elevated as well as slowed down into the alpha, theta, delta, gamma, and epsilon rates. This is achieved by meditation to special music, not just any music, but there's a special kind of music that I will recommend at the end of this protocol here that is keyed into these specific levels. And this is mandatory. She told me this is absolutely mandatory for contact with ETs because our brain waves, which also control our instinctual reactive part of our body's movements as well as our feelings, are keyed into our brainwave levels and our thoughts. And there is specific music that has been created that has been keyed in to these alpha brainwave, theta, delta, gamma, and epsilon rates. And this is very, very important. It's probably the most important point of the apex of the protocol. The point three is a fundamental understanding of creation and its cosmic laws by already disseminated teachings given by ETs on creation and these cosmic laws. Now, anybody can look around, do some research, and find, especially through Billy Meyer's material, which I recommend some of his material, but not all of it. I recommend a lot of it. It's very important for understanding cosmic laws. His contact girl, Samjasi, from the Pleiades, has revealed some incredible information about creation and the laws of nature and creation and spirit. And that is very, very extremely valuable and is probably the best disseminated teaching ever given by ever spoken by an extraterrestrial on creation. And I highly recommend it. Samjasi's explanation to Billy Meyer on specifically creation, and I can give a link to that at the end. The final point, number four, is that the desire to injure or be mean or ridicule and harm other beings must be eradicated by your own personal initiative daily, but not the self-preservation instinct. That, of course, remains. I mean, it's all right to defend yourself, of course, but if you're unprovoked, you're attacked. But the desire to injure or be mean and ridicule all these primitive, these low estates, to harm others and everything, it's in all of us to some degree to another. But we have to learn how to eradicate it and learn why it's bad and why it's mean, because it blocks us from any kind of higher consciousness when we have that meanness in us or that harm or any kind of ridicule, rejection of other, you know, fellow beings. So those are the four main points.
So it's on those four points, which are pretty logical. Of the one you specified about the music, so that people here, you know, remember what kind of music on that note. And
the music is you can go to neuroacoustic.com. Neuroacoustic.com. That's neuroacoustic.com/meditation.html. That's neuroacoustic.com /meditation.html. And that's Dr. Jeffrey Thompson is the creator of this series. It's extremely valuable.
Is it only like that music, or is it like, for example, what?
No, you can. There's other. Go on.
What about like utilizing Tibetan bowls?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That'll work too. There's they're probably keyed into delta or theta even, you know. But any kind of, you know, I wasn't saying any kind of but mostly this music has been created specifically through like scientific research. This Dr. Jeffrey Thompson.
All right.
Has done a lot of valuable research in it. And
well, any of you out there, if you missed it, just don't worry. It's going to be this show's going to be archived, so you can redo it over and over and over until you get the link right and get that music. Now, the link that you were talking about with Billy Myers with his the information regarding what you were just, can you relate that? What's the link to that?
Okay, the link for there is www.us.figu.org/portal/spiritual teachings /introduction to the spiritual teachings. If you just go to Figu and you look for the portal on spiritual teachings and introduction to the spiritual teachings, you'll find it. You'll come up with it.
Right.
You'll come up with a huge, very large explanation by Sannyasi Billy Myers, contact girl from the Pleiades, and it's. I honestly think it's the most concise and the most beautiful spiritual explanation ever spoken by an extraterrestrial on planet Earth.
So, now switching over to this other, because I know that's all very, really important. What have the Abana, what has she said about in relationship to disclosure or political and so-called New World Order? And I'll even add, and in fact, we had an earlier discussion before we got on air about the recent attempt by NASA's shoot a missile at a rocket at the moon to see if there's actually H2O, water.
Yep.
What information do you have from her regarding, like I say, aforementioned with the NWO, New World Order things, or government, the politics, and including that, what we just mentioned?
Well, as far as disclosure goes, I'll hit that first. Abena herself, by revealing what she's revealed to me over the summer, over like the last time she demonstrated this plasma thing with me, and she was really disclosing. She took up the fact for disclosure to me at least, and she really hit it home, I think, by revealing all this summer to me. So she was really disclosing it, disclosing her nature, disclosing the power of these craft, what they were capable of. And really, I've only seen only about 25% of what these triangular craft are really capable of doing. There's a whole 75% yet to go. And I would have been uploading more video to my channel, But my camcorder, I've been using it so much, it got all worn out, and it's on the blink, so I'm getting a new camcorder here in another week. So I should start resuming filming. But she hasn't really said to me too much about the New World Order, any of these kinds of things yet. But about the moon, somebody asked me about that a week ago if I got anything, and yes, I did. I had an out-of-the-body experience where I was taken to the moon. I found myself on the dark side of the moon, and I was looking down at the surface in one particular area, and I was looking at flowing rivers on the moon, yes, flowing streams. And there's running water on the moon, and it's being covered up. And whatever NASA's talking about, you know, it's obviously a half truth. You know, they know themselves that there's something going on up there. And but they leak out this half truth. They preach this half truth to the public. You know, about frozen water under the surface. They know very well there's running water on the moon, but they just come up with these half-truths, you know, to keep the public, you know, in ignorance. But
So what was their point to actually shoot? If they knew that, what was their point to actually do the, I mean, that maybe the thing that they were doing had nothing to do with the water, you're saying?
Who?
When the NASA shot up the rocket up there, it had really nothing to do with...
Well, yeah, it might have. You know, there's probably a certain part on the moon where they see a high concentration of water under the surface, you know, and they want to, you know, get it jolted out, you know, I mean, break, so it'll break out, so they want to do something like that. So maybe, you know, that's a high percentage of that is very true. But the fact is that the true nature of the moon and Mars, we've absolutely been lied to, and it's been covered up. It's just been partly, you know, it's been partly, we've been told, like, half-truths about it, especially Mars. I mean, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory has, you know, totally fabricated the true colors of Mars. You know, they put in a darker red tint on the surface, as well as a pink sky. Originally, the photos that came back from, you know, the landers and everything, the probes, were always that Mars had this, like, blue and gray sky, almost like, or very much more Earth-like. And there is definitely vegetation on the moon, and there's vegetation on Mars. But we've been, like, you know, people are making money off of lies. You know, when people cover up things, they can write books about it, and they can write analyses and programs, and people profit from that, and they like that, the people that are in power, and so they want to make a profit. So it's basically people making a profit off of a lie, which is very old on this planet, and it's something that has to die in the whole race before extraterrestrials want to be our friends, and they don't want to be friends with these kinds of people that are doing this. In fact, the extraterrestrials are the enemies of these people that are trying to hold back all this knowledge from us. Extraterrestrials are enemies of these people, and these people better watch out, because there are higher people, I mean, there are higher beings in this universe that govern and watch things.
So getting back to where I said earlier about...
Yeah, go on.
Back to the thing where a lot of people have that messianic complex. What will, are they actually going to do some sort of Star Trek-y, sort of like they say, what they don't get, they have that thing where they're not supposed to get involved. What's it called? I forget now. The wording, the protocol where they're not allowed to get involved and allow us to evolve on our own. Or are they actually just helping facilitate to some level to help benefit humanity?
They are to some level. In fact, I can't even go into, I'm not allowed to speak about some things, but I can say that, you know, there's various degrees that my extraterrestrials are involved with Earth humans. Some of it I can reveal, you know, with me they're revealing the protocol, they're revealing evidence that something indeed actually unusual is going on with me, because why, you know, if I'm not in contact, why am I going out there, you know, almost every week and getting video of the same craft? And, you know, it's doing things and performing different aerial movements and performing this molecular plasma. You know, so this is...
What about in general terms of humanity, though?
Oh, yeah, I mean, what they're doing with one, they're doing with all. So what they're doing with me is basically, you know, they're saying this to the rest of the world. I mean, they're giving me a chance, they're giving the rest of the world a chance now to learn. So whoever will pick up and learn this protocol that I've been given stands a good chance of increasing their sightings of UFOs and having even contact if the people go, you know, really follow that protocol to the letter and the spirit of it. It's very, very, very possible that, you know, ETs are going to take up contact with those people, because we're reaching the time period now where disclosure, they want disclosure. The ETs are tired of, you know, wanting to be covered up. They're tired of listening to Earth humans. They don't have to listen to us. They don't have to listen to our government. They don't have to make secret pacts with our military people just because our military people or our government people want that. The ETs realize that they're not under their law. They are not governed by their laws. And so, you know, they're breaking a lot of agreements that maybe they had made originally with some of Earth's authorities.
In the prior.
Yeah.
Like, there are agreements that they had agreed to the benefit of humanity. Basically, is this what I've read about where, actually I have got feeling up too, but they've been provided reverse technology to help benefit humanity, but instead of utilizing it for a positive person, they use it for a profit and a power, and therefore broke their agreement, what they've had with the ETs.
Yeah, well, some of that, yeah, is maybe partly true, but it's more involved because a lot of the technology, if any of that kind of stuff has gone on, which I think it has, it becomes very involved, and it becomes, I can see the need why it would be, you know, very classified and should be classified, because it's, you know, it's extremely dangerous stuff. You know, you're dealing with research. You know, the ETs are not just handing our scientists.
What I was saying is they gave certain of the agreements, certain information, but then they, on these people who have in power or whatever, in the governments or whatever you want to call it, have been given opportunity. Basically, here's a tool, here's a thing, but this is our agreement. It's for the benefit, and as opposed to doing it for a benefit, it seems they've been utilizing it for their own personal gain. And basically tore up the agreement. So that's why.
Okay, you're right. Okay, on that score, yes.
Well, screw you. Now we're just gonna, you know, we're going to do this on our end then.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's going on, and that's exactly what I think is going on with some of my Orion friends, and you know.
And this brings in the fear factor, where a lot of people, a lot of media and stuff is presenting some fear, but it's, I think it's being overcome.
Well, these people ought to be afraid, and I will say this with confidence, that, you know, these people that are manipulating the human race and thinking it's a joke, you people have, you know, if any of you people are listening to me, you ought to be afraid, because there are greater people in this universe than you. Yeah, you're greater than a lot of the people on this planet, but I'll tell you, there are greater people than you, and they got your number. And your days are numbered on this planet, and the way you rule it and the way you do things is numbered. And you think you're invincible, and you think you're a little god, and you think you got this and that, and you think you can just treat people the way you want. But I'll tell you right now, there's going to be a judgment, and it's not going to be you who determines where you go in this universe. It's going to be natural creational laws, and it's going to be based upon extremely advanced intelligence, not from this earth, and extremely advanced intelligence, extraterrestrial intelligence, is coming into this earth and is going to govern this earth in the future. And if you don't come into alignment with it, then you're just not going to be a part of it, and you're going to be excluded, you people that are excluding others on this planet right now and thinking it's a joke.
Now, for those out there, I put on there the connection for Phil's sites that have links, actually, so you can actually see the Albana's ship flying in full view for him. I saw, like, there's a plasm, which is a magnificent. It's actually so detailed, actually, and visually. It's fascinating how the method they are utilizing to do that. And any other information as well is I posted on there, but just in case people hearing out there, they can always, how would they be able to contact you or contact, I know your blog sites, even though I post them, if you could reiterate them on air so that people overseas and wherever can just dictate them and check them
right.
out.
Right. Yeah, well, I have several websites. I have one called the Pine Bush Zone, which is my MSN site. And then I have one called Orion Research IFOs. So if anybody does a search on Google for Orion Research UFOs, Phil Koseski, they will come up with it. The Pine Bush Zone, of course, if you do a search on that, you'll come up with it. It's the only one out there, I think, that's called the Pine Bush Zone. And then I have my YouTube channel, which is called Orion UFO Zone. Or if you just type in Orion UFO Zone on a Google search, you'll come up with that, my YouTube channel. Or my YouTube channel name, which is Orion Nepho, just all one word, Orion, and then IFOs, or IFO at the end of it. You'll come up with it. And then I have a MySpace. There's links on all my sites. I have a MySpace page as well. And I have all my videos on my YouTube channel. Of course, the most important one that was given on August 7th is the feature presented video. There is the one where Abena is there and she comes back twice within like 5 minutes. She leaves and then she comes right back and she does the same thing again with the plasma, which is just to emphasize that indeed she's an extraterrestrial and that it's not some airplane or helicopter like some idiots imagine or accuse me of.
So it seems basically the information that was corresponded to you from Abena and the Orion is basically the four protocols that you have disclosed. One, of course, is, you know, getting the acknowledging our spiritual, you know, connections and what our spirituality is. One is quit the me-ism, narcissism. And then also the one is to elevate our
brainwaves
by utilizing...
Actually, slow them down.
Technically it would be low. Actually, yeah, that's right. Your vibration, actually, you're right. Your vibration of your soul would actually increase, but your brain waves
exactly.
go opposite.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last was the information which you had corresponded and given in relationship to what was disclosed to Billy Myers. As to on spiritual matter, what's really going on,
creational law, yeah,
creational laws and all that,
cosmic laws,
yeah, which seems to be to me there's like four basic laws, which I mean I've always thought I was always told from another source on the other side there's like the one is that we're always connected to each one or other no matter what, whatever you can think we're always connected to me, you, the earth, the planet, physiologically, but also spiritually, we're so infinitely connected. We always exist in one shape or form. For every action, there's a reaction. And last but least, that we have the ability to choose. And, there's the one consistent thing that there's always change. Things always change.
Exactly. Nothing stays static.
Right. But that's basically the common patterns of things, you know, that it's sort of funny that esoterics are funny how full science is coming full circle to the esoterics. But and Tolkien, what you had said, it seems correspondent. I know we're running down on time because I only got a few more minutes, but it seems to correspond to a lot of what the esoterics have said in relationship with the what you have said and disclosed. And I think things are coming to a full circle And like Phil, I want to really, really thank you for coming back on my show. I know it's only been, what, about 6-7 months or so, but I felt it was important. I knew you had information coming to you, so I felt it was real important for people to utilize it, because, you know, you can, here's the door, you still have to walk through the door with that information, and it's
exactly. Opportunity
for people to grow. I can't say here's the wall and you keep on walking the wall, but there's a door, utilize the door, because this is an opportunity for people to grow and better themselves, and they're going to see things coming toward that end where they have that opportunity, but nobody can force you. It's everybody's choice. And again, Phil, I want to thank you for coming on my show.
You bet.
And I would love to have you on whenever you got some new information coming through.
Yeah.
To relay it to my many listeners throughout the world. And thank you. It's been an honor.
Namaste. You bet.
And God bless you. And I want to thank all of my listeners out there. And I wish you a very blessed week and blessed weekend. God bless you all. And with that, I will close with some Shooting Stars by Ruby Freeman. God bless you all. And thanks once again, Phil.
Take care.